Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Can that be a picture of a slaver?
If so, it is the first ever discovered. An important historical find.
It looks like fresh meat. Over a billion years in that box and it looks fresh.
Yeah! Nothing like this has ever been found. We are the only ones who have it. Look at it, human. This weapon may well mean the end of mankind.
Shall we just get started? Do you want me to start? I can start.
Let's jump right in.
This week I can start the podcast. Good evening.
Last week,
7 days ago.
Star Trek Enterprise. 7 days ago from now, we talked about Star Trek Enterprise.
See... You're trying to trick me, Dan.
I'm trying to trick you.
You're trying to trick me into revealing which timescape we are currently occupying.
That is our secret to keep.
It is irrelevant to the audience.
Us. Don't dox us. Don't dox our temporal information. Don't dox our temporal data.
We are doing things a little bit out of order, non-algorithmically. Right? Long-term fans, or at least people who've listened over the last few weeks.
Yeah. We'll
know that we have recently, in the off-season, when there is no new Star Trek to discuss, we have to select episodes around the whole Star Trek universe. That's how we do it. We started doing that ways back, so we're still doing it that way. All right. So we used to just discuss the episodes to pick, but then we decided, you know what? We should have an easier way to do it. And Dan decided to create an algorithm, very complicated algorithm, where he feeds in a lot of data
it's
from the podcast.
It's got all sorts of bleeps and bytes and bloops and doops.
And it spits out a list of podcast
episodes.
Spits
them out in your face!
It spits out a list of Star Trek episodes.
It spits in your fucking face!
Jabroni.
You jabroni.
This is a very aggressive opening. My point is that we have recently been discussing whatever episode the computer algorithm tells us to discuss. But this week we are giving the algorithm a break because one of us is traveling. So we needed to record the episode at a non-standard timescape.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. So
solid.
I'm extra chill this week. So I'm super chill.
Listen,
so
guys,
we don't gotta spend 10 or 15
so
minutes talking about the algorithm.
Chill.
We're gonna be chill this episode,
we're
right?
Okay. So chill.
We're not gonna go off to the races. We're gonna be super chill,
We're gonna let each and everybody speak in their own time.
With minimal interruptions.
We're going to encourage each other. Part of
being slow involves being focused.
We're going to focus on what we're saying.
Yes, but we do need to convey with
you
some,
said doo-doo.
We do need to convey.
You said doo-doo.
We do.
You said doo-doo.
He didn't say doo-doo.
We do need to convey with some level of alacrity.
You didn't say doo-doo.
To the audience.
Is it alacrity?
Yes, alacrity.
Yep.
We need to efficiently get the information out of what we are discussing this week.
Right.
We have chosen, with our human minds, to discuss Star Trek, the animated series, season one, episodes 14 and 15. Episode 14 is the slaver
weapon.
Which
is what we usually do with Star Trek, the animated series.
Yeah, we usually discuss
so
two
we
at
take
one.
Two at a chunk.
So we're discussing the slaver weapon and the Eye of the Beholder. And the latter episode again, should not be confused with the late season 7 Star Trek TNG
again,
episode.
When did you say that before? I think you said that last week.
I said that last week. I have it in my notes here. Okay. That last week I said it.
I was going to say, that's a good memory on your part.
In a I do have quite a good memory. I'm renowned.
But he also keeps notes.
For my good memory. And I'm renowned for my... well, less so for my notes.
I feel like you've said... You've repeated yourself before, as anyone can from time
because
to
my
time.
Memory is so good that sometimes those memories reassert themselves so forcefully that they break
memories.
Into my consciousness, and I have no choice
Wait
but
a minute.
To regale us.
I don't
my,
know about it.
My memories are churning so strongly in the meta sub.
I don't
juices,
know if that's how
sublingual.
Good, I don't know
subspace.
If that's. I don't know how that,
under my tongue.
I don't know if that's how good memory works, but okay, well, I'll go with it because you said it very confidently and very complicated.
Yes.
Very much complication.
Yes. So, okay. This is episode 162 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hell yeah.
That's what you've been listening to this whole time. If a friend of you...
Why would you listen
of,
to anything
A friend
else?
Of yours may have sent you a blind link. A friend said, hey, you got to listen to... Click this link. Just click play. Don't even look at the title. In that context, I'm
don't even think
explaining
about it,
to you that you're listening
watch,
to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. The rest of you who are not in a similar scenario will already know that you're listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast because you've either subscribed to us or you've clicked on the website or clicked on something on Twitter, and there's a good chance you know what you're listening
Maybe
to.
Maybe you heard by word of mouth.
Yes. Which could be... By Twitter as well, or social media.
I am choosing not to say anything because I have nothing to add.
Ah, good. Yes.
Good for you, sir.
We are all practicing.
We're focused.
I encourage your reticence.
We are we are listening to understand, not listening
well
to
played.
Respond.
Yes. Well played.
Sir. Right?
Exactly.
Yes, that's what we are all it's doing like
tonight.
For this episode of the podcast.
Right. It's like
where we are discussing two animated series episodes.
It's like, what is it? I live to work or I work to live or what are those things people say?
I respect that you have brought up a completely unrelated aphorism.
But it's one of those things where it's like, I do the thing, but then I do we switch the words around when I do a different thing.
Well, yes, right. Where it, because something has a similar sort it's of template.
It's a folksy sort
even
of
even if it's, in fact,
rhythm.
Talking about a different concept.
Yeah.
An unrelated concept.
Well,
but
I'm glad there's respect as there's respect.
Yes, and I respect that you respect that.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Good.
Because we are listening to it.
So fucking respected right now.
We're so chill.
So fucking chill now. I'm like fucking two-man Randy Savage
God.
Over here.
I'm so chilled. I got a little dizzy just now.
Whoa.
I got so dizzy from...
You got a dizzy chill.
He almost
been
fell
so
out
chill.
Of his chair.
I'm chill like Macho Man Randy Savage right now.
Careful.
Wow, tight.
Yeah, that's how he died.
That guy, that's how
he died. He died doing that voice.
I know.
And making his neck do that thing.
He had like an aneurysm or something.
Yeah,
right.
It's because of that. You got to be careful with that.
So can't be too chill. Can't be chill like the Macho Man.
All right.
Famously not chill.
But, okay, so let's get started.
Pro wrestler.
We will dive right into...
It was like the chill version of a pro wrestler's tense...
The slaver weapon. See, I paused so as not to interrupt you, Dan.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I let you jabber
that
on
about...
That
was really considerate of
you. Should finish your thoughts before any of us add...
Where it sort of
our
trickles out and sort of like the there's a decrescendo.
Yeah, it tinkles out.
Yeah, it's sort of like a babbling brook.
Yeah.
A delightful babbling brook. That's what what your thoughts are on a regular basis. And I mean that positively.
Good.
All right, so the slaver weapon.
It's fucking weird.
A couple facts about this episode. It first aired on December 15th, 1973.
Weird.
That's crazy.
I just wanted to put it out there. It was directed
almost 50 years ago.
Can you guess who this was directed by?
Brandon Braga.
No, of course not.
Leonard Nimoy.
No. Hal Sutherland.
Oh, I knew that.
He did a lot of that.
And yeah, here's the tip. He directed all.
I know. I should have known that. I think I remember. I remember noting that actually because it was written. By
Larry Niven.
Larry Niven. And do you know what Larry
He developed those cat creatures independently, and he's got they're in some other books that he wrote or something.
Right. So this is based on it said in the title, it says it's based on his story, The Soft Weapon.
Yes. So he was most famous but for writing the Ringworld novels.
Oh, right.
And yes, he created the Kzinti on his own and kind of inserted them into Star
Ringworld,
Trek.
Ringworld, not Rimworld.
And there's a Kzinti on Lower Decks, right?
There is a Kzinti on Lower Decks.
Not Discworld.
They're the different type of different cat creatures, because you have Kaitians, like Dr. Ta'ana. And
the one on
what's the one on the ship of
animated series?
Yeah,
what's the one on the ship of the animated series?
I always forget, because she only shows up sometimes. It's weird because she's voiced by Nichelle Nichols, but she only shows up when Uhura is like not on the bridge.
And it's just it's like Lieutenant
I'm mad that I can't remember
her
that
name is Shibboleth Mress.
But
I don't know. But I don't. That's her name. I don't know.
Mress is her name.
Lieutenant.
It says she's a Kaitian.
Lieutenant.
Yeah, she's a Kaitian, not a Kzinti. Kzinti.
Kzinti. But then what's Ta'ana then?
Ta'ana is a Kaitian.
Okay, so they're the same.
Yes, but then the other person on Lower Decks is a Kzinti. All right,
Kzinti.
You got both. So Larry Niven wrote this. He wrote this, as you noted, based off of his short story or whatever called The Soft Weapon. Yeah, I know. I laughed. I thought of a penis, right?
Yeah, right.
Which made me think, it made me feel slightly guilty because I was like, oh, I'm associating penises with violence.
Yeah, it's bad.
And on the one hand, I don't want to. On the other hand, it's understandable.
Yeah, because it's soft.
The world. Well, is that the, but it's is like that the green thing penis, they got? The weapon they got, but they call it here the slaver weapon because there's this whole concept of, like, another thing that you see a lot, particularly on TAS, is this concept of long extinct but mega powerful galaxy spanning super mega aliens.
Like
all
and life
and dealing with some sort of artifacts.
All life had to like re-evolve,
like beyond the farthest star. Beyond the farthest star was like that. Beyond the farthest star had like the old ship that was like, oh, so lonely.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like so I haven't read The Soft Weapon,
we ought to.
We ought to.
Should we pause the podcast recording right now and all go read The Soft Weapon?
But we should do it right here. Dude.
Yes.
Right here.
We can read it together, book club style.
Yeah.
Can somebody just download it and we'll read it right now?
Yes.
Let's listen to the audiobook.
All right, we read The Soft Weapon.
Okay.
It's great. It's exactly like this episode.
So I feel like The Soft Weapon had a lot of details in it that were left out of this episode, basically due to time and stuff, because there's just some fucking weird ideas that are introduced in this episode.
Do you have them numbered?
Is this
a classic Dan numbered list?
I they're not numbered.
Or is this a bullet list?
This is a more of a bullet list. A bullet list.
Do you remember back in the 90s when people would, instead of using regular old bullets, they'd use hilarious little bullets like little smiley faces or, you know, some other picture, like a little pineapple.
Like funny pointy fingers.
Because like the 90s, like everyone's like, oh, the 80s was all cocaine. But the 90s, you could get anything. You could get anything.
You get anything.
You get the cocaine, ecstasy, the finest marijuanas this side of Maui. You get all of that in the 1990s.
I remember for a while.
People did crazy stuff with bullets.
I had a computer that instead of making like the sort of like bing noise, if you had an error, it would make like a Homer Simpson going, dope.
Oh, yeah. You could change that shit.
Oh, yeah. I changed mine to my error message was something from Spaceballs.
Mm.
I think it was I'm surrounded by assholes.
Yeah. What else could it be?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's various questions. It's hard to tell which are just like sort of weird assumptions by the story and which are things that didn't make in the episode. Like, for example, I wanted to know, why did this box belong to slavers when the box was so tiny? Were there boxes of different sizes? What could they do with such a tiny box?
Did they put the slaves in the box?
Were the slaves that tiny?
Did
that
they shrink them down?
They called them the slavers, but they didn't. I mean, and they implied they were powerful and that they quote unquote controlled the universe. So you presume if they're calling them the slavers, I guess that means we don't know what their original name was. So we call them that because they enslaved the galaxy.
Yeah,
but I don't know. But like, maybe they weren't enslaving. Maybe they were benevolent.
Why were these boxes so small, though? What were these boxes called? They were called the
stasis boxes.
Stasis boxes. Why didn't they have bigger stasis
boxes?
Billions
of years.
These things that look like folded cardboard boxes. Like, why weren't they large? Why weren't they stasis chambers? Why were they tiny boxes?
Would you have been satisfied if at the very minimum there was some differential, even if it was not significant?
I guess
just to show that the boxes come in different shapes
and
sizes.
Or if it was one of those time space warpy boxes where you could put your hand in and it like went to another dimension, so you could like put as You know, those kinds of things where you can it could be as big as you wanted it to because it led
to
another
more satisfying.
You're talking about Doctor Who's TARDIS
scenario.
Or the Mary Poppins purse.
Or the hole in Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Oh yes, the hole in Roger Rabbit. I thought you meant the hole in Roger Rabbit.
Are there some kind
of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
There's some kind of D&D thing where there's like a sack you have that is like
a sack of plenty.
It leads to like a little portal and some other shit.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
So here's a bit of information they could have expanded upon in the book. Why can they only be detected by other stasis boxes? What is it about stasis boxes that they can detect each other? That seems like a strong bit of
detail.
They
were all made by the same ancient fucking alien.
Because, Dan, as you must know, the quote, the only known stasis box detector is another stasis box.
Exactly.
But you have to have that pause.
You have to
have that very long pause and that weird cadence that Spock, that Leonard Nimoy had. He often has in the
Detector.
Animated series, but he seemed to jump out a particularly large amount in this episode.
He said error in this episode at one point.
Error.
So I feel like in the story, maybe they went a little deeper into that sort of that little bit. There was one had a flying belt that was used to help invent artificial gravity. Now there's a bit of fucking serious Star Trek lore
I was gonna say I would like to see a modern series go back to this slaver concept because it's the whole box thing is mildly comical, but it's also like, no, why not? It seems like a perfectly reasonable sci-fi thing that there's like, yes, it's comical in the context
like Strange New Worlds. This could be a strange
world. Because like it's comical in the context of a yellow box on a poorly animated Filmation program. But the concept itself of a stasis box that just they're kind of archaeologically littered around the universe or around the galaxy from like some mega powerful old culture, and adding in, like you said, Dan, that new canon that like part of that technology was made possible because of finding bits and bobs from these ancient people.
It had a stake in it.
Yeah, it had protoplasm on it, which I don't really know what that was all about. It was
it's kind of like ectoplasm.
They were saying the meat in the box was protoplasmic and poisonous. So
protoplasmic and poisonous.
Although I liked it, in that same one they mentioned about the artificial gravity field, they went a little spookier and they said like another one had a bomb with the key pulled. It's it's like yikes. Like that's some dark
since
shit.
Since then, the only specialists can look at them.
Yeah, right.
They were setting up the danger a little bit.
Did you ever see that Steven Spielberg anthology movie? It was like three of them. It was called like Incredible Stories or Amazing Stories or something. Stories.
Yeah. There was the train that was coming.
Oh,
everyone was waiting for the train.
Yeah, and then the train, and then there
was some freaky shit.
Oh, and then there was a remake of The Twilight Zone in the 80s that mostly wasn't that good, but there was a really creepy episode about a woman who stopped time and there was some kind of Russian missile like being shot at us and she stopped time in episode shows this missile floating.
There's
in
a
the
great
air.
Episode of the original Twilight Zone where the guy is a kind of a piece of shit, but he stops time and he gets a watch that can stop time and he does all sorts of fucked up shit to people, but then he like stops time and breaks the watch and he's stuck like
he breaking a watch.
Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah,
you got a drink.
He broke the watch and then he got stuck.
He got stuck.
That I think sucks. He did that last episode.
That's kind of like that guy who like lost his glasses.
Yes, the glasses one is good too.
But that Incredible Story shit by Steven Spielberg was kind of creepy actually.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Why is Beta Lyra such a spectacle? Uhura mentions, or someone mentions, that they stopped by.
I love the animated series. Some of the stories they have on the animated series, as we've discussed before, are great because they go some full-on sci-fi stuff. The animated format, it's simplistic, but it is it does allow for them to do things that are bigger in scope.
Yeah, and it's made some awesome set piece. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, all the matte paintings. Yeah, the farthest star, like a billion, 3 billion-year-old spaceship, that sort of thing. Lots of cool stuff. However, it just sort of depends because sometimes like Spock does silly things. Characters do silly things. Like Spock's logic here, he has repeated hilarious logical conclusions that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of you, the ones is what you were just referring to, Dan, where he's like, there's no way like this box couldn't be found because ships are just stopping and looking at this shit all the fucking
yeah,
time.
Right.
Like there's no way they're not going to find this small box
right.
buried on a planet.
Yeah. Right. Right. Find like the one ring.
It's like
shit.
That's Spock on the TOS wouldn't be saying that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or on Strange New Worlds, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
They were on season two of Discovery.
That. Spock said some funny things during this episode. I guess we'll get to. But I liked when they mentioned that all telepaths are unhappy neurotics. Now that seemed like a statement that hid some info that might have they might have expanded upon
that's some
it. 70s expounded, shit. Expounded, expanded. I don't know upon in the book.
Expounded.
But like it kind of, they kind of sort of explain profounded. It as it goes along. They kind of sort of explain it as it goes on because I guess like. Over the course of the episode, we're led to believe that these telepaths, it's like when they merge, when they read people's mind, they're like experiencing.
You're talking about them cat people.
They're experiencing.
That one cat person.
Yeah, they, because like, it's like.
Or as Spock put it, the lean, bedraggled one. Yeah.
The lean, bedraggled
one. He says a bedraggled cat. Yeah, man.
The quote was, the lean, bedraggled one is a reader of mine.
That guy's been around the block.
So
reader of minds.
So I guess we're to assume that they're unhappy and neurotic because they experience other people's minds and it makes them like not know who they are. And
it's
that
the
whole
same
existential
thing as, like,
bullshit.
If you follow people on like Instagram or Facebook and you're like, oh, their lives are so much better than me. It's like, hey, come on now. They're just putting up the pretty pictures. All the other pictures suck.
Yeah.
Their lives maybe are shit.
Or maybe they become that person and experience like all their desires and then they come back to normal and they're like, oh shit, I was really into some dark shit back then. Does that mean I'm into some dark? I don't know. Yes. Yeah, it's probably all that shit, you know?
Yeah, yes, you're right. I was perhaps simplifying it and there are a number of permutations.
There are a number of permutations.
Dark stuff.
There are no ways to guard. Yeah, some part Spock goes, there's no way to guard our thoughts from him. I don't know where I was going with
that. Well, that's the thing is like Spock is just stating a bunch of shit out, right? And coming to these weird logical conclusions.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, he says they're not likely to deal with me or Lieutenant Uhura.
Yes.
She and I are inferior beings to them, which they sort of say, but they don't, they only reference like they sort of coyly, yeah. Well, not coyly, but they side glance it later on. But that feels like there was a deeper thing going on. But yeah,
he's a vegetarian.
So here's the thing. Yeah, the first he basically states, you know, I'm a vegetarian. At right. first, you think like, is Uhura a vegetarian?
Is like, no, that's not why.
It's because there's some like, kind of weird.
Oh
other
no,
shit.
It's because the Zinti females are dumb animals.
Yeah, right.
I was like, what?
Yeah, right. What is that?
Right. Human women are intelligent. You know, he's like, okay.
Human.
He goes, yeah. And then he, not only he says to Uhura, yeah, like, she should already know, like, this is common knowledge among all of us. He's like, are you forgetting? Because Zinti females are dumb animals. He says, are you forgetting, Uhura?
Yeah.
Because Zinti females are dumb animals.
Are you a dumb animal too, Uhura?
Yeah, but I like how she's all like, fuck you, man. So.
Uhura is consistently awesome on the animated series.
Yeah, she
like,
is.
She gets so much more to do than she. She did a lot of stuff on TOS, but I think that there's a lot of really great story arcs for her on the animated series. And even though she's not one of the main characters, she is one of the main three characters that we basically see in this whole episode for the most part. And it's not like perfect or anything, but she is given opportunity to do some cool stuff.
So then this led to this one where he goes talking to Sulu. He's like, if you sense him reading your mind, think of eating a raw vegetable. Yeah. That's when it's kind of like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like,
because the Zinti are grossed out by like eating vegetables.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But that's ridiculous because it reminds me kind of like, what was that Rick and Morty episode with David Cross in it? And it was like those the aliens that were uncomfortable.
The Sigerian scammers. They were the Sigerian scammers.
Yeah, and they were
butthole
like,
flap.
The nudity made them uncomfortable. It's yes. Like, the Kazinti are meat eaters. So if the way you stop a meat eater from reading your mind is think of raw vegetables. Like, that's when we're starting to have to infer more about what it means to read someone's mind. Because when I think of like reading someone's mind, what we're traditionally taught is like, oh, you just kind of read their mind, you learn some shit, you see some dark shit, blah, blah, blah. Then you start, you know, and then it's like, okay, but you got it. But then like they start different stories start to play with the idea of like, well, when you read someone's mind, you're actually experiencing them and you're looking through.
Which the Vulcan mind meld is kind of like that, where you can experience and there can be stress associated.
But yes, but it's kind of like a narrative jump in this episode to just say, like, think of a raw vegetable. That's your way out of this one.
He's basically occupying the mind. I like the quote where the one guy is like, what is his name? First of all, are they saying the chuffed captain?
Yeah, the chuffed, C-H-U-F-T.
As in chuffed, as in the British slang term. We're like, oh, I'm feeling chuffed about my performance at the play last night.
Wow. Yeah, is that how you, is it chuffed, or isn't that chuffed?
Chuffed? I thought they were saying chuffed.
Oh, chuffed. Well, it's spelled C-H-U-F-T, Captain. Chuffed. Chuffed,
oh,
Captain.
So it's not chuffed as in F-F-E-D. It's correct. F-T. I got right. you. Still.
Still. It's weird. Still.
Some kind of cat talk.
But it's the cat, he says, quote, I feel no pressing need to talk to an eater of roots and leaves.
Right. Yeah, another part he goes like, there is a vibration in the middle of his belt. Chuff Captain, he is too alien. He makes me taste yellow root munched between flat teeth.
Yeah.
It's like, there's some weird shit going on there.
And they wanted to eat those people. They were ready to eat them. Yeah, they were like, listen, we're going to just eat you.
Yeah. So there was a whole, you can kind of sort of infer what's going on with this mind reading stuff, mm-hmm. but it feels like it was sort of, I want to read the story to find out if they sort of delve more into that whole concept in general, because it felt like there was more to that whole mind reading shit than we were really given. We were just sort of given little drips of taste nodules.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a full meal.
We should make
just
a
nodules of flavor.
Yeah. We got to take it as an assignment, because here's a, you know, just to let the audience in on a little thing.
Really?
We didn't actually pause the recording of the podcast in order to read the story.
Shh, don't tell them.
I know, but I have to.
Oh. Wait, but if you talk really quietly, they won't know.
No, but we have to have respect for the...
We're frauds.
We have to have respect for the audience. Okay. All right, so what I propose we do is take a brief break, okay. And then we will conclude discussing about this episode.
That's a great idea.
And then we can get started on talking about the next episode.
And we can read the book, actually.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah, we can read the book.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the second break.
All right. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. It's got Star Trek. It's a Star Trek podcast.
It always has.
Tell your friends, rate and review. It's got Star Trek. It's made for you.
That was nice. Nice. The last point I had that I felt could have used a little bit more info is like, why did one of the stasis boxes have a picture of the slaver? I guess it was like a time capsule.
Oh,
what we're supposed
that,
to
assume. For me, that was great, because they opened it up and the way, just sort of the way it was, this was directed by Mr. Sutherland, by Hal Sutherland. Was it looked like they opened the box to reveal some porn. It was like, oh, this is like a fucking naked lizard man. It's a fucking what? And that was their reaction. Their initial reaction was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, am I supposed to jerk off to this?
Well,
do you think the Kzinti cat males have the penises with the spikes on it, like a house cat, like a Felis catus?
I don't.
Earth?
I think we'd have to be given information to tell us that they weren't like that. Felis so, catus. Yes.
So you think it's fair to assume?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you. We will assume that they have the little weird penises.
At first, I don't think I was...
Look it up, folks. Cats have weird penises.
I wasn't paying...
Not to judge.
Don't look it up.
Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but when I first saw that picture of the slaver, I didn't think it was a picture. I thought it was like the slaver. I thought it was like the slaver. And it wasn't helped by the fact that...
Did you think it was like a little mini guy?
They just put him in the box.
I wasn't sure what was going on.
Because it's filmation and often characters don't move. Is that what the issue was?
Yeah. I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on. Oh, filmation. There's another point I want to make about that. That reminds me of something. But I couldn't figure out what was going on. And it didn't help that, like, in that same sort of scene, Uhura was talking about the meat. And she was like, the meat hasn't even gone bad yet. I thought she was talking about, like, the animal meat. Like, I thought that picture of a lizard person was an actual lizard person. And I thought she was like, look, its meat hasn't gone bad.
Look at this meat.
That's macabre.
It's like,
A-OK.
It's like if we were in a stasis box and someone looked at us and said, look, his meat hasn't gone bad yet. Like, so I thought
we'll
that
be,
was
sort of fucked up.
So that was my bad. But yes, Filmation.
You had an excellent point to be made about Filmation.
About Filmation.
Because we are chill tonight.
Chillmation.
You hear that, folks? This
Chill
is the
Nation.
It's Got Star Trek Chill podcast.
Coming to you live.
And we're not live. We are recorded.
Coming to you recorded.
Podcasts
mildly
are
edited
never live.
For clarity and alacrity. And we're coming to you.
Through your undulating butt
on
flaps.
Your podcast. Okay. All right. Points. Get to the point.
When
get to the fucking point.
Yeah. We're
all
smooth.
Right.
When they talked about when they were running away from the gun, then skipping back, we can go back to the gun in a second. But when they talked about, we're on the topic of Filmation.
Yes.
Spock, when they were being
I like when the music is when it's not even trying to be tense, but they're just like, well, we use the non-tense music earlier, so now we got to use the tense music, even though this scene is not really particularly tense.
Yeah, the next episode, like, use the romantic music at a funny part we can talk about then too. Right. So when they're gonna run away from the cat people? What were they called? The Kzinti.
Kzinti is like a very light on the K.
Kind of like General
Kzinti.
Like General Tso's.
General Tso's chicken.
You're making me hungry.
I'm sorry.
You're making me crazy.
I kind of want some Taco Bell now.
You could go get Taco Bell.
Go get it for us.
Isn't it open 24 hours still?
It's like 2 now, I think. I'm sure there are 24-hour ones.
Probably more reasonable.
That's neither here nor... But it is there. It's not here yet. It's not
You've given people a clue to our location in the Mid-Atlantic, in the Washington, D.C.
I doxed our
you
area.
Go it, you go
because
and
you
get
didn't
some
mention,
Taco Bell and bring it back.
You could have been talking about a different place that's not Taco Bell. Like Taco...
District Taco.
Well, that would also be... That is a local chain.
Taco Baja?
I don't know where that's from. There's that Taco King, Taco Hut.
California Tortilla.
Taco Pie?
Frito Pie. There's a Frito Pie.
I had that Wild Tacos place. It was pretty good.
another local establishment.
It's Falls Church.
Is there some meat on it?
It's like Greek tacos.
Now you know where to find Jesse.
Greek tacos.
Jesse backs himself.
I want some Greek tacos.
Okay, make your point about the Filmation.
So when the Zinti they were going to zap him and they were all going to run away, right? Yeah. The Spock and crew were going to run away. Yes. Spock goes like, he goes like.
Okay.
He says, when I give the word, make for the shuttle, remember to zigzag. Ready? Go.
Is the word
none
given?
None of those fools zigzag.
He had, well, that's the point. Because
the word is given.
That's the point because it's Filmation. They couldn't, there's no way. It wasn't even that it was 2D. Is that it was too complicated for Filmation to show people running in a zigzag fashion. So Spock had to say.
It was before He-Man. He-Man did that shit.
No one could zigzag in Filmation. No one could do shit.
He-Man had that rotoscope shit. He was all.
Every single move was a singular motion. There was no zigzagging. There was no dynamic movements. It was running away from the screen, running towards the screen, running across the screen, doing a roll. There was no such thing as zigzagging. Maybe doing that distance like silhouette shot. So Spock specifically had to say zigzagging so the audience knew that they were zigzagging.
They were just running across.
Because when you see it, it's just a series of shots like, oh, now they're running sideways. Now they're running away. Oh, now they're running from behind two rocks. It's like there was no zigzagging because that
between two pillows.
Because that was literally impossible for Filmation to make a zigzagging animation. I thought that was fun.
When I saw that, I thought of the movie The In-Laws, starring Peter Falk and Alan Arkin. A fantastic movie in which at one point
that sounds intense.
At one
are you talking
point,
about MacGyver guy? Not MacGyver guy. Magruder. One more thing. Columbo guy.
Yeah. It's funny
Peter
that you confuse Columbo with MacGyver.
didn't Albert Brooks or someone try to remake that movie? I think
it has.
Did.
It was remade.
Oh, I heard it wasn't.
It's
very
not
good.
As good. It lacks some of the charm. The original one is a highly recommended film.
Yeah, it's good.
Everyone out there in the audience should go out and find it immediately.
Columbo tape playing a different, little bit of a different role.
Peter Falk playing a CIA agent, and then Alan Arkin, a dentist who gets wrapped up in Peter Falk's schemes, and there's all sorts of funny stuff going on. But at some point, Peter Falk is giving Alan Arkin the advice, because they're about to be chased by people with guns, to run in a serpentine fashion. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole comical scene of them doing that.
Right.
And I mentioned that to reinforce the point that Dan made, which is that you don't get to see that.
Yeah. You said
like impossible.
When you said Between Two Rocks, was that a reference to Between Two Ferns?
I said Between Two Pillows, which was a reference to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is a film starring John Candy.
I know what that movie
and
is.
Steve Martin.
I'm very familiar
as
with that movie.
Two men who are trying to get home.
There was that whole part where he was like, get my damn fucking ticket right damn fucking now, or something like that.
Yes, he's very upset because his rental car.
And as a kid, it's like,
I know. There's so a
like, there's so many fucks.
Steve Martin has trouble with his rental car. It's one of those films
back then,
considered a classic.
Back then, all those fucks was like a big deal to a kid. Now it doesn't mean shit. But like back then, all
kids
those
are
fucks,
saying fuck all over the time.
Yeah. They just can't not say it.
What they didn't say fuck a lot in this episode. However, one might have expected they would have.
Way to bring it home. Way to bring it home. So I don't know.
I do not know when I'm off.
Yeah. Yeah. That fucking weird ass.
I live in a zone of darkness.
It was a very small reasoning computer.
It was a philosophical nightmare.
Yeah.
It was upsetting.
Those cat people had funny voices too.
Those cat people seemed so super fucking silly, because like the Zinti are, on the one hand, they're meant to be portrayed as very strong, very durable, a threat. There's a presumed challenge that Spock and Sulu and Uhura will have in trying to deal with them. On the other hand, there is of course the lean and bedraggled one, and the psychic one. There was that one point where like he was sort of got like a bit of a, you know, they were talking to him and he was all stressed out about having to deal with this, and then he gets the fucking big dilated pupils like fucking puss in boots.
Right,
he looks like the cat, you know, holding his hat and looking all like, oh, you know, the cute little wiggly
cat in a coat.
Yeah. So it was good. I mean, I enjoyed seeing the Zinti. I thought it was funny. I just thought there was a bit of a.
Is this when they're introduced, essentially?
Yes. Yeah. And the thing that is that in terms of it being introduced into the Star Trek canon, into the Star Trek lore, but I think they didn't know exactly which direction they wanted to go, because on the one hand they're trying to make them all threatening and talking about like weapons that can annihilate whole worlds and all this other stuff. On the other hand, the Zinti are coming across as these kind of bumbling, goofy motherfuckers. Mm.
You mean Zinti? Zinti
the
is
Gazinti. Yes, Zinti. not the Zinti.
Yeah.
Oh, heaven forfend that I make that
error. Forfend.
Heaven forfend. But you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's the it didn't detract so much from the enjoyment of the episode. It was just a little silly and confusing, where it was like, okay, it's serious, but it's also just some stuff I can't take seriously, like the pulling the porn of the lizard guy out.
Yeah.
Or the Zinti guy getting knocked over and being like, I'd rather not talk about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so Spock, He kicked the Chuff captain, which was like, was an awesome jump kick.
Yes.
But then he proceeded to like give a complicated explanation that amounted to, I hurt his ego. That was a whole thing.
I broke two of his ribs.
I'm a Vulcan. That's what I
did. Not his heart or something like that. I forget. He said something about his heart.
Yeah, he said Spock.
It was a little confusing.
He said he kicked him the Zinti over one heart. He's like, he has Okay. We're gonna find this.
Something about the structure of his ribs.
Kazinti ribs have some vertical bracing.
Yes, the vertical bracing.
But I kicked him over one heart. So I guess I compute. Then he says something about, I compute the odds of my defeating the Chuffed captain of 16-1 against.
I've just realized it's meant to imply that the Zinti have more than one heart. That's what it's meant. There's meant to be that the Zinti are some sci-fi goofiness and like the Klingons.
Yeah, that was more inferring.
They have two or more hearts.
There's more assumptions we're having to be.
You could argue that's respecting the audience.
Yeah, you could.
But it's a kid's show, and I think that's...
I think it was clumsily done if they did that.
This may be another example, as we've cited before, that where TAS sometimes has troubles is when their story is too big to fit into the time frame and they have to sort of rush through or compress a few things. There's some of these things that were just straight up unused TOS scripts, basically, that have been shrunk down in order to be fit
into the... Well, actually, they didn't have... It turned out that, like, the way the timing worked in an animated show, everything happened faster than with a live action show. So some of the scripts they didn't have to compress.
That's true. Yeah, they can just sort of something. Yeah. But it depends on what the nature of the story was, whether I think how affected it was by that process in terms of the tonal problems. Because sometimes you need a certain pause or slowness for tonal purposes.
Yeah. You needed some contrabassoon.
Yeah. Yes. Precisely. Precisely, Jesse. God damn it. Yes, contrabassoon. You need that in there.
Bass clarinet.
After that,
Spock goes, I compute the odds of my defeating Chuff Captain in combat 16-1 against. I wasn't clear if that meant 16-1 against the Chuff Captain or against Spock. Like, I couldn't tell if he was saying I have a better... You would think that he would have a better chance of beating him
Spock
because...
Spock was saying, my understanding at the time was that Spock was saying that he was unlikely to win even though
the Chuff Captain
was injured.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Spock...
Those Kazinti are badasses because Vulcans aren't no slouches, man.
That's right. Vulcans are very strong.
Yeah, they're very, very
even
strong.
Even half Vulcans.
Even half.
Like Spock.
Spock. I learned a new word. Do you want to know what that word I learned is? Can you guess what word I learned? When the weapon said, twist me Wittershins until you reach the null position.
Yes. You didn't know Wittershins.
I didn't know Wittershins.
Jesse and I know about Wittershins because we're hilarious.
Okay. I thought when he said...
We are hilarious. And like, we like anachronistic language just to aggravate our coworkers and familiars.
Familiars? Like, yes. Like in like... You know, like your...
Yeah, if I said like Wittershins, no, familiar, if I said like Wittershins cat, to my like wife, cat. She would yeah, be cat, like, fuck you.
What'd you say?
I bet if I said Wittershins to Natalie, she'd just be like, what are you saying?
Yeah, well, yes.
You're trying to trick me.
At first, I thought he said, twist my Wittershins, or I thought it was saying, twist my Wittershins, like you had to find its Wittershins and then twist it around.
I bet you'd have fun looking there.
Yeah, I wanted to know what its Wittershins were.
Yeah, I want to find your Wittershins.
So at some point, the Chuff Captain discovered that human females are intelligent because, like...
He discovered that fact.
Because Uhura was running away, and he's like, human females are intelligent, or something like that.
They knew that. I think they're not dumb. They know human.
But Spock was originally saying how like the Zinti think that women are dumb animals or something.
Yes, I agree. There's an inconsistency. On the other hand, it's also you could argue that somebody who has that
he says in
belief
emergency
system may transpose says, that to people in other races or species. So
Spock says in an emergency, the Kazinti may forget a human female is an intelligent creature. And then later
they didn't
on,
forget
in an emergency.
And then later on, the Chuff Captain said, "Never mind that. The female is escaping." And then Kazin 4 said, "What of it?" Because he didn't. He thought that maybe Chuff Captain's just really smart.
Chuff Captain is smart
because he was like, "Fool! Human females are intelligent." So that's why he's the Chuff Captain.
He doesn't have to be smart to be educated. Those are two separate things that sometimes go together.
Are you trying to educate me?
No, I'm just saying that you can.
He's trying to educate me.
Have
right
information
you motherfucker
in your head.
You're trying to fucking educate me,
but not
me.
Necessarily be able to manipulate that information or analyze it very well. On
knowledge
the other hand,
is not wisdom.
You could also be very clever, but not have enough information to utilize.
That's like
it
that
well.
King of the Hill episode when Luann says she's ignorant because.
It's like that King of the Hill series where Luann started out being really good at like working on cars and stuff, and then got like stupid later.
It was what was the episode where Jeff Goldblum?
Yes.
Wasn't he? Or no, was it his character? No, that
he
was
the one who scammed Peggy with the PhD program.
There was one guy who was like dating Luann and he was like saying, "You're not stupid, you're ignorant." And then,
that was the one where Bobby Hill like gets like thinks that guy is super cool and like wants to hang out with him. Isn't that one?
No, you're thinking the one with Johnny Knoxville where he gets the poop job.
All right.
No, that's the one with it's like Rad Thibodeau.
Yes, Rad Thibodeau.
When he's like, "Well,
it's that dude."
Well, all right.
I'm McConaughey.
Yeah. Isn't that Rad. The one? Like, and Bobby likes Brad Thibodeau.
No, Bobby likes Johnny Knoxville.
No, he likes Brad. He likes Brad.
He likes Johnny Knoxville.
I know for a fact in the episode he's into Brad Thibodeau.
Hank's all like, "Isn't that pronounced Thibodeau?"
Yeah.
Well, there was an episode with Johnny Knoxville where he kept going like, "Well, all right."
Anyway,
it doesn't matter.
That's a good one too.
So we find out I looked like there were seven settings on that device.
There's seven pillars of wisdom.
I was having trouble keeping up.
The seven pillars of wisdom by T.E. Lawrence. AKA Lawrence of Arabia.
But we only
a book that he wrote and then lost in a cab and had to rewrite again.
Was it a cab?
It's totally
in Cairo?
Fucking irrelevant. That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It's true.
Like, you get on my...
Well observed.
You get on my case, say like, Dan, you just said something that doesn't...
I don't get on your case on it. I do occasionally point it out, okay, as you are doing so now, which is just part of the
Fair
whole...
Fair enough.
You know, it's the fun banter, the fun back and
forth. No, I wasn't complaining.
The audience enjoys it.
You're already ready for me to like get all fired up about something.
So when you're dealing with an audio recording
format...
Patrick's
worried that I'm going to get all fired up right now.
Not at all. We're all chill.
We're having a chill podcast today. Very chill podcast.
However, in a recorded format, it can be difficult to interact with the audience now because obviously we're recorded.
This is so where he's educating me.
No, I'm not educating you.
I'm sitting in a comfy
I'm making
chair.
A comment that you can agree or disagree with, but that in this form of entertainment, that we, in order to develop some level of interaction with the audience, since it is technically a one-way media format, right? We're not live on air. We're not a YouTube channel okay. with people. As in order to sort of create the illusion, you know how
we
you get
are
a,
on
you
YouTube.
Get one of those baseball cards where when you wiggle it back and forth, it looks 3D. Yeah. It's two-dimensional, but it's creating the illusion of a third dimension. Yes,
or the magic cards.
So what we can do as podcasters is to create the illusion, the impression, the implication of interaction by noting things, calling out things that the audience may themselves be thinking about in the moment. And then so when we call it out on each other, like you just did to me and like I sometimes do to you, the result is, from an entertainment perspective, that the audience member can be like, I was just thinking that. Well, see, exactly what you're saying now is something that an audience member may be thinking.
So how do you know how do you know when you're doing that or if you're just trying to be a smarty pants?
Well, it's because of the cleverness.
Okay.
There's just the baseline cleverness that is required to do this job of podcaster. We don't get to our 162nd episode of podcasting without, at the very least, persistence and perseverance.
So there looked to be 7 settings on this device. We only heard about 5 of them. The first setting, yeah, which was nothing. They thought it was communications or sonic stunner.
It's got to be communications or a sonic stunner.
Right. The second one was a telescope. The third was a phaser.
By the way, telescope was one of the more impressive things I've seen on this entire series.
Yeah, the effect they used.
It was like really cool. Yeah. It was really effective.
Yeah, it worked. So there was a rocket setting, and then there was an energy absorber.
Comically hilarious.
Yeah, right.
So,
and like then flames were shooting out the back.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So I don't know if that first one was supposed to be a communication device or a sonic stunner, or if that was supposed to be the null setting. Is the null setting the 6th setting? I don't know, because I listed 5 settings.
I don't know.
Which was the null setting. And when you null something, how does it know when
you null something?
When you how does it know when to stop nulling? You know, like if I pointed a null at the wall, when, because it was saying it is the null was the most dangerous weapon because it converts matter into energy. So how does it know when to stop nulling things? Because he pointed at a mountain in the distance and the whole mountain
you gotta take their finger off the trigger.
How does it but it looks like I guess at some point, do you think the longer you hold it the more it nulls? But the thing is he just like tapped it and nulled a whole mountain.
It's a tap a tap a tap.
And I bet if he pointed it at a person it would just null that person. It wouldn't,
you have to
null
point
a
it at a bunch of people.
It seems like it's contextual with like the size of the thing you're pointing at, and it has arbitrary lines it draws based upon what? I don't know.
This was what perplexed me a little bit about.
It wasn't developed enough.
This storyline is that, and I again, I am indeed interested in reading the soft weapon to see how it's presented there. I presume there's a little bit more coherence, because on the one hand they're saying this culture is like super ancient, super powerful. On the other hand, Spock makes the point, he's like, we got, and Sulu, they both make the point, they're like, we got most of this shit except for that one thing, which is pretty fucked up. We got like all this other shit, we got beat. So it's kind of like, I don't know exactly what they were trying to say. It's like, yeah, we don't want the Zinti to have this or the Klingons or whatever. So it's, you know, it had to be destroyed in the end. Spock had that weird jump of logic where he's like, well, it has to have a self-destruct setting.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Logical to assume. Right. It's like, is it logical to assume that? I don't think the Klingons are making self-destruct settings in a lot of their stuff necessarily. Maybe. I don't know. I just don't. I would argue against, push back against that that assertion. That it's another weird thing that Spock said that's not necessarily logical.
The end line was confusing. I remember you talking about an end line for a past TAS where it was like, that was confusing. This one was also confusing.
Yes.
It was like, Uhura said, didn't you say the Kazinti have legends of weapons haunted by their dead owners? Yeah. Spock says, yes, an ancient superstition. And she goes, at this rate, they'll never get over those old superstitions.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So aren't they all like dead?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's what she meant. That's fucked up.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
All right, last thing to discuss about this episode before we move on to the next one is there's no Kirk in this episode.
No Shatner. And no explanation of what they're doing, why they're there. There's just it just shoots right in on them.
Nimoy, Sulu, Uhura.
Yeah, no Scotty or McCoy.
You got that crazy ass shuttle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was weird.
Crazy ass shuttle.
Yes. Yeah. Crazy ass box. Zinti. Uhura says something about she doesn't like those planets. You know, what is it?
Oh, those ice bound planets.
I never did like these little ice bound worlds.
They had the Traitor's Claw was the name of their ship.
But I was wondering, do you think Shatner was sick that day?
I don't know.
Do you think they like rewrote it in a hurry?
You think it's
so
like
that it was like Sulu instead of Shatner?
Do you think it was like Chip Tucker the Third last week in the Enterprise when he disappeared halfway through?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe because there are a couple weird parts where you see Sulu in profile and it doesn't quite look like Sulu. It looks more like a Kirkish
character. There
were
some funny moments like that. That's
I couldn't tell exactly what the deal was. So I don't know if they had to sort of shift at the last moment or if Shatner just had the day off or he was birthing a horse or I don't know. Whatever.
It was birthing a horse.
It was like an animated version of a bottle episode.
He had to go back to the ranch.
Fewer voices.
Oh, another bit of lore is the Treaty of Sirius was never mentioned again. That's where apparently the Kzinti aren't allowed to use weapons.
Because it was serious.
Except for like police weapons totally and they have police webs.
It was the most serious treaty they ever treated.
All right. Okay. How about anything else on that? Can we move along home to the Eye of the Beholder?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you ready, Dan? I just want to confirm with Dan.
Oh, I'm ready.
You're ready?
This one's a little more straightforward.
The Eye of the Beholder is somewhat more straightforward.
The last episode was actually pretty entertaining because it was bizarre. I was entertained by it.
I also was entertained by it. It wasn't as strong as some of the episodes. No,
that's the thing. There was a lot of weird assumptions and a lot of stuff they could have used some more.
Wall.
Yeah, it could have gone a little more in depth on certain things.
It was
left
better than some TAS. Yeah,
how does it compare to the Big Spock episode?
I don't know, because I like the Big Spock episode.
Why is he so classic. Big?
Why is he so fucking big?
But let's compare it to this episode, which is even more batshit crazy in a lot of ways.
But it is the classic, like, whoa, humans are in a zoo kind of thing. So.
You know, it's like Elf on the Shelf, crew in a zoo.
Whoa.
Crew in a zoo.
Whoa.
Whoa?
Did you just say that?
I did just say that.
But.
All right, so The Eye of the Beholder, this aired on January 5th, 1974. So the previous,
directed by Hal
the previous
Sutherland.
One was before the holiday break. This was, I think, the first one back after the holiday break.
Directed by Hal Sutherland.
Yes, and who was it written by?
Jami Balambro.
Nope, David P. Harmon.
That's what I was going to say.
David P.
Actually, I remember
Jolly
that.
DeLambro.
Jolly Balambro.
Unlike the previous episode.
Bob Dabalina.
This one does. Mr. Dabalina. This one does have William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Hey, everybody. Have you been missing your daily dose of William Shatner?
Because
it's
got
Scotty.
In the Eye of the Beholder, it's got William Shatner.
Well, James Doohan did a lot of voices in the previous episode. Because James Doohan does all the voices that are extras.
It's got Lachtrons and a weird Cyclops dragon.
Have you ever had a weird Cyclops dragon just come right up to you and you wondered, does this thing locomote on land? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever had a Southern doctor from Georgia who's like, I know he can. wasn't that weird? I know we're skipping around, but that was weird, right?
When
they see this dragon creature.
Like, what does that mean?
Who doesn't look like a scary dragon? Looks like one of those. You know when you see the horrifying, like there's like a Reddit post where it's like a cyclops turtle is born, and you look at the picture and it's just an upsetting mutation of something that did not survive. That's what you see with this dragon, and then it's like, I wonder if it can walk on land. And McCoy is like, I know it can.
Yes. How do you know that? Yeah, right.
You don't know that.
When is McCoy like the dragon expert?
You're not a veterinarian, McCoy.
I know, right?
Come on.
There's no Starfleet Veterinary Corps.
Well, this was this.
I mean, first of all, I bet there is, because like all these captains who like horses, they have to take care of the horses.
Well, this was a McCoy Spock at each other's throats, classic sort of one of those
they
episodes.
Were,
there was a lot of moments of tense moments between Spock.
It was a little
Kirk.
Bit extra McCoy versus Spock.
Yeah, the very first
compared
one
to some TOS.
The very first one, When Kirk goes, the captain of a ship, no matter his rank, must follow the book. And then Spock goes, a capability, I'm afraid, out of the reach of most humans. And then McCoy's like, you Vulcans are fucking assholes. And then, Kirk.
But Spock's also been working for Kirk, and Kirk breaks the rules all the fucking time. I know not as often as people, as is the stereotype, but he plays around and pushes things a little bit. And
it breaks a lot of the time laws.
And when McCoy says that, Kirk even goes like, Bones, that's not helping the situation. It's like Spock started that. Spock was being a dick. He was
well,
the
we
one...
know which side you're on.
Dude. Yeah, seriously, because Spock's like, humans can't do shit. And McCoy's like, fuck you, Spock. And Kirk's like, McCoy, calm down. And then later, like Spock corrects Kirk on time, and Kirk's like, I'm careless of me, Mr. Spock. Kirk is really, really loving on some Spock this episode.
He's loving on, what was the name of this planet? Lactra 7?
Lactra 7.
Lactra 7. Crazy ass planet. So, okay, what's the scenario? The scenario is they get this, what is it, a distress call or something?
There's a crew that's been missing. Yeah. Some kind of science crew.
There were like, 6 people, 3 of them died, apparently.
3 of them died, I guess, because in Star Trek, people always die.
Yeah.
So, until recent Star Trek, it's like a weird thing, like basically all Star, I think like pretty much every episode of TOS, at least one person dies.
Yeah.
TAS is pretty much the same. So, yes, they have this situation where they're like, okay, we got to find out what's going on here. So they fly to the planet, Lactra 7, and they are like, let's beam down there. They almost beam into boiling water.
Bummer.
They see the one-eyed dragon that McCoy knows an unusual amount, and the sea dragon creature looks totally hilarious.
Yeah. It was kind of fun. It was a fun thing. It's like one of them cute furry spiders you see on Twitter.
They get away from that creature, and then they're like, oh no, there's another crazy creature.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first I was like, is that like a rock dog? What is that?
Rock dog.
Not to be confused with Rockdar.
Not a
from
rock
last
dog.
Year, last week's Enterprise episode that we discussed, North Star.
Yeah, it was like a Rocko lizard.
But
or
at
something.
First it looks like a rock dog, and then I was like, okay, rock it looks dog. A little bit more lizardy. But it looked like small until like the whole situation where Sulu and it was it Sulu and Spock or Kirk and Spock, I forget who it was, but anyway, they're like, they get away and they're all like, where's McCoy? And then it's just like,
yeah, he's under the fucking tree.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's that weird noise.
That motherfucker should have been dead. That motherfucker.
His legs are all like just going around.
Which
like,
was hilarious.
He was all like ladybug legs. I was starting to run out of air.
Yeah, it's like, you would have had worse problems than that. If that thing fucking landed on you, you'd have worse problems than air.
Yes, he
on.
Should have internal bleeding and all sorts of hemorrhaging and he should like be popped open. But regardless,
face would be all
that. It was just funny the disconnect between the scale because that at that point you're like, oh, this thing is huge.
Yeah.
And it does just look like some sort of dinosaur, or certainly older conception of a dinosaur. So
you can always count on TAS for like some fucking weird ass monsters that make the same like roaring noise. And they're like, yeah, either the birds are like squawking some weirdness or the monsters like,
you mean the dragons, purple dragons?
Oh yeah, the purple dragons.
And that was actually like they reused some drawings from another episode.
Oh yeah,
it was like the exact same kind of creatures.
Common practice.
I think they were supposed to be the same kind of creatures, but it was the same, exactly the same kind of visuals.
And so, they played it twice.
Yeah.
So the pterodactyl dragons, right? So Spock says that they hit an invisible force field, which is why they retreated. But it seemed like they got shot to me. Like when because they yes. they shot them they seem
no
like
but
they
Spock
shot...
said they clearly hit a force field
right
it's because like... by the way this episode repeatedly even though it's an animated format they don't have enough money to make a force
right.
field it was because Kirk is always just he's like that's a force field
yeah right
they're holding up his hands
right
he just looks like he's, like the cops are gonna get him or something
yeah
he's
right
like, it's a force field
well they're allowed to use like the air force fields that keep them breathing on foreign on like on. Planets like you know how they don't have spacesuits they just
you
have
said
that
foreign planets
they
foreign,
have some like foreign
planets
I know,
there's
some glowy,
supposed to alien
glowy aura about
so,
them
so they can do that one force field but anything else yeah it's a little it must be like trying to make it see through that must make it tough on them. I think they could just put over another cell or something. I don't know.
Put it there. I like when Kirk is like, I've seen Stranger Things, Spock. I like that quote because in my brain I was like, no, you didn't. It wasn't even the 80s yet. The Stranger Things takes place in the 80s.
I know. Right?
There was no Netflix in 1974. Yeah.
You know,
you didn't see Stranger Things, Mr. Kirk.
Speak.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, he didn't
Come
see
on.
That show. Well, speaking of,
you don't
movies,
know what like a mall like is Jerk. With that kind of mall with the bubble gum and the arcade.
Well, speaking of
anime, barely know about Pong. Come on.
Speaking of movies, you were talking about how they
Atari 2600 and 5200 and
right
all this
before
jazz.
Right before the McCoy got
ColecoVision.
Right before that lizard rock monster fell on McCoy, like Kirk goes. Goes like, right here, you all right? And Spock goes, I am undamaged. Where is Dr. McCoy? And then Kirk goes, it came from back there.
Yeah.
And that made me think of a movie called like, It Came From Back There.
It came from back there.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
So speaking of movies and things we think about when we see things and they make us think about other things, isn't that funny when you think about something and you see something and the way you're thinking at the time combined with what you're seeing makes you think about something else that reminds you of something else that may or may not be related?
Yes, I agree with Jesse. It is the human condition. I also agree in that I thought it would have been more fun if instead of Spock being concerned about the purity of the water, giving away the fact that this is an artificially constructed environment, that if it was the purity of the cocaine, if he found some space cocaine.
It was the 70s.
And he was like, it was the 70s. And he was like, space cocaine is too pure. This can't be naturally grown stuff.
It's the cops.
Yeah, because then Kirk puts his hands up. He's like, oh no, we're going to get arrested. Get arrested by these creatures. We've seen purple flying dragon monster. Well, they look like pterodactyls, but they call them dragons. And then there's the dinosaur creature. There's the messed up looking sea dragon thing. But ultimately, they get captured by these elephant slurm creatures.
It's like Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, they look all like cuddly, but they're also violent and robbing our crew of their agency and their
super
freedom.
Smart.
Yes, apparently super smart, except it's funny because we just have to be told that they're super smart.
Yeah.
Nothing they're doing looks super smart. They don't look super smart. They're just sort of flopping around.
It's like when they zigzag patterned last episode. Right, but we could tell they were laughing because they were just like shaking.
Or were they orgasming?
Yeah, it was really hard to tell.
Was it like one of those deals where they get one of those sex toys that you use the sex toy, but then a partner has the remote control to control the sex toy, you don't know when the sex toy is going to be activated,
right?
For pleasures,
right? Well, Spock did. I know what you're saying, but Spock did seem to think that they were laughing.
Yes, but Spock also said it was logical that a weapon would have a self destruct.
Maybe they just had a tremor.
Spock also was like all about giving up this episode. Like almost immediately, Kirk's like, "All right, what's the plan?" And Spock's like, "Nah, we can't do nothing about it. We should just stay here."
Yeah.
Basically is what he said, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I know. I mean, he didn't seem to offer that many great ideas.
Yeah, and then later on he was just like, oh no, they're just like way too smart. Like anything we come up with, they'll figure out.
Yeah. Like he was able, how often can the Vulcan mind reading thing, he actually kind of said later on in the episode that he can read minds with other Vulcans and some creatures. Now, is this a Star Trek thing?
Well, he didn't say creatures. He said some other
things.
People,
some other types of things. Yes. So depending on their situation.
So
I'm not clear on the Vulcan mind reading from a distance rule. I don't know if there's any kind of precedent set for that, but I guess they can do it.
Well, in Discovery, Burnham was able to be connected to Sarek.
Well, wasn't there some
many light years?
But wasn't that due to some kind of like magic crystal or something?
Previous mind meld, I believe.
Yeah,
but anyway.
But that would imply both sides had to connect to each. I don't know.
I'm subtly trying to make the point that it works however the plot says it needs to work.
Both these episodes had mind reading in both these episodes. So, right.
It's a go-to.
And apparently you stop.
Toss in a little mind reading. The kids love the mind
reading. In the last episode, you stop.
Get Spock to get into those elephant slurms brains.
In the last episode.
Because they're so smart.
In the last episode, you stop meat eaters from reading your mind by thinking of raw vegetables.
Yes.
In this one, everyone has to gather together to create a thought screen.
Yes.
That thought screen shit.
Think of the same shit in the big snail creatures with the crazy faces. They're gonna slip the thing you need. I was curious why they didn't like trick them into giving them like a phaser or something. I don't know. I guess they needed the medical kit originally. I get that. Then the communicator makes sense. I understand. They don't need to be violent. I'm falling prey to the default violence as a resolution.
Watching too much
to
Enterprise.
Yes, exactly. I've been watching too much Star Trek Enterprise, and so I'm just like, we'll punch the guy in the fucking face. That's how we'll win this episode.
So they got to this whole place, and they find the third member. I was briefly mentioned this earlier in the episode. When they find the third member who was sick, right? She was infected with some sickness.
Yeah, but first we met Randy Bryce, which is like a James Bond name.
Well, I remember Markle. There's Markle.
There was Randy Bryce was the sexy.
Okay.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I don't know. It was kind of the other guy was all like, the captain was all like, hey, this is Randy Bryce. He's Randy. You know, Randy means horny.
Oh, yeah.
It's a synonym for horny. It's a colloquialism for horny. And this is a horny scientist named Randy Bryce. That was my reading of it. I freely admit that I could have taken that incorrectly.
Fanny.
I mean,
that might be
there was
own,
some amount of projection.
My own boy,
on.
Yes, my own boyhood fantasies. Yeah.
So, so we get to see, there's like some red mushroom birds, there's some spikelephants, some kind of squatty mantises.
Yes.
And Spock goes like, I find them strangely attractive, which is kind of a weird line.
Now we need to, and again, we are doing a chill podcast tonight, but we need to pause here and think about this, because Spock says, as you know, I find them strangely attractive. Yet at the same time, what we are seeing as the audience is like a melange of different exhibits. Mm-hmm. Was he referring to all the exhibits equally? Just the concept of seeing these? Or was he referring specifically to one of those creatures in the exhibit? And if so, which one? Because all of them, I mean, I want to be as progressive as they come, but all of them were like, I was like, what do you mean by attractive? There's like a dinosaur monster creature. Yeah,
they were all gross.
They were all some kind of like gross monster creature.
And I don't think he meant the concept of it, because in another part of the episode, he's kind of like talking bad about zoos. He's like, fuck zoos, basically.
Exactly. You know? It's like, this is what all animals trapped in a zoo would think.
So,
you know, this is a very anti-zoo premise.
Yeah, so
what do you think he was attracted to?
I don't know. That's the question.
Monstrosity.
Could be.
So then Markle.
Simple monstrosity.
Markle points out that this is a zoo. He goes, so tremendous as to be almost unbelievable. I thought the whole place was 5 square kilometers. That's not that tremendous for a zoo.
You don't know the life this guy led. He might be a boring.
You don't know the life when Markle led. Like,
it seems like I'm kind of a boring guy.
Yeah, you
it's
might
a good
be right.
Size zoo.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
five. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a good sized kilometer.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying maybe his life experience is limited.
Yeah, it seems like it, because it didn't. Although,
did he start the zoo? Did he just buy it off of somebody?
I don't know. Yeah, I would imagine that they were smart enough that they just made the zoo pop up from their brains.
Yeah, with their 1,000 IQ.
Yeah,
that's true. They don't need to buy anything.
They think so fast.
Yeah. Was it? They're in my head. Yeah. What
tearing
happened
my mind
to the baby?
Yes.
Let me alone, please. They're destroying me, tearing my mind.
Somewhat horrifying.
Yeah. So when they were showing, speaking of the 5 square kilometers, when they showed that image of the city, that looked pretty cool.
Yes.
But it made me want to be like, I wonder if there's a way to figure out how accurate that statement is. Like, there'd be any kind of way to sort of
take a screenshot and submit it to the they did the math subreddit.
That's a good, so if they could figure out a way to sort of get scale, because getting scale from that would be the hardest part, but you could sort of do something with the trees, I guess.
Somebody could probably put some small amount of effort into it and figure it out.
So
not us, though.
Not us.
That is not the role that we occupy in this particular milieu.
So somehow there's 3 crew members died. We don't know how they died, but somehow they died. Okay.
They probably got eaten by a dinosaur fell on one.
Yeah.
The other one got eaten by a dragon, one-eyed mutant dragon
in the water.
Yeah. The other one fell into boiling water and their skin sloughed off.
Yeah, and then they got eaten by, by a dragon.
Yeah.
But then they went to the room with that one person who was sick. I forget her name. But did you notice that this is easy to forget, but if you go back and watch the music, it got all romantic Star Trek music. Nancy Randolph. The music, because you're talking about how, like, earlier in the episode, you're talking about how they just switch up the music and sometimes it doesn't necessarily go fit.
They just needed a different
one. And so it's like, but this one is funny. It's like, oh, here's a sick woman. Let's play, like, the romantic music.
I
don't know.
It was weird and uncomfortable. And so TAS has really good music. Now, it's limited, and sometimes it's comical in how it's applied, but the music itself is pretty rad and pretty awesome. Every now and then, it does become a little, it becomes a little oppressive, and in this episode in particular, I found it was getting to that point at a few points in the episode, not just in terms of being sort of incongruous with what's being shown on screen, but it's just like, no, I don't need, like, you just... You're playing this over and over, and it's a little too. It's like constant music. This episode does not stop having music, and that's true of a lot of TAS episodes. But sometimes it works. This time, it was just getting. It was like, stop the music for just a couple minutes. Just let the scene play out. It's okay.
When Spock says about those Watchers, the Smoogly Pans or whatever they were, the Lactonites, he says, we seem to frighten the smaller ones.
Yes, the smaller ones.
Some, here's Spock surmising, some, the females, I believe, find us quite ugly. Now, is that some kind of thing saying, like, as opposed to the males who look at us more scientifically? Or is that some kind of weird sexist implication they were making with that statement?
You think? Yeah.
You know, that's probably the better interpretation. I just thought they meant that the males... were like horny for the humans and the Vulcan, and just thought they were like something to rub their long penis faces.
And the women thought that was gross, that the males like to rub up on.
But the women were more sensible and were like, "Why are you rub up on these weird little floppy creatures?"
Let's go with that one.
But I don't know. I think what you were suggesting probably makes sense.
So
it was the 70s.
They zapped up the kid. But because it had the tricorder. Is that how transporters worked back then? Is they locked onto the with tricorder?
It was the communicator.
Or the communicator. I'm sorry, communicator. Is that how... So what they're saying in this episode is the way they lock onto people is through the communicator, not through their bodies, but through their communicators. I guess that... Is that how it works in all of Star Trek? You know, they can... I thought they could lock onto life... They can lock onto life forms. They don't need any kind of... They can lock on anything they want.
It's, again, it depends on the plot. Later on, they definitely can lock onto specific things. There was a lot of communicator, like, you know, put the communicator on this rock and then it'll beam up something. Yeah, that sort of thing. All right. Next discussion point about this episode.
Scotty and the baby. That was pretty cute. That was adorable.
Because Scotty was all like, no.
Yeah. Stop it. You stop it. And the baby was like, but I wanna. I wanted to go back to when we were looking at them animals. When the first animal they were shooting, that weird dino lizard, rock dino lizard, Spock goes...
Dino DNA.
Spock goes, it seems...
I'm in your blood.
I'm in your blood. Jurassic Park. Spock goes, it seems to gather strength from our phasers, in my opinion. Who is this, Peggy Hill?
Yes, yeah. Because of her line, like, in my opinion, the day after Thanksgiving...
Day before Thanksgiving.
Or the day before Thanksgiving is the biggest travel
day of the year. Yeah.
What was another one of her opinions?
I don't know, but she put a teaspoon of orange juice in her spaghetti and meatballs. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awful.
Just a teaspoon of...
That was in her apple brown bag.
Yeah,
I thought she put orange juice in her spaghetti and meatballs.
It was something with the sugar.
I'm pretty sure she put it in the spaghetti and meatballs. It's funny to me because she put like a teaspoon in this big thing. I don't know.
We'll have to go back and listen to or watch the entire King of the Hill series and determine...
And we'll live comment. We'll do a live feed while we watch it.
Yeah.
On the entire King of the Hill.
Baby beams aboard. Scotty yells at the baby.
Yells at the baby.
I mean, it's just like the conclusion to this episode is again one of those weird things where just like a bunch of shit's just happening.
Yeah.
And Kirk is like having his mind torn apart while Scotty is like yelling at this, you know, scolding this baby monster. Yeah.
And Spock is just sort of sitting whining about stuff.
Yeah.
And,
Spock's just like, nah, let's just stay here. Yeah. Just easier. Spock just wants to retire at this stage.
He goes, it seems they were where we are some tens of thousands of centuries ago. Their centuries, not ours.
Yes.
So the implication is that their centuries are longer than ours. What if their centuries were like 5 minutes for us? You know, they don't say. And then at least repeats that at the end of the line.
They're assuming it's this weird thing where it's like they're smarter than us, so their centuries must be longer.
Yeah. Why would they use the word century? Like to like why even use that word? Like it doesn't. Doesn't make it. They exactly. should use something more galactic. If they
I
don't know.
Think you could argue.
Like what? Why would those aliens say century? Why would that translate? Well, it doesn't matter.
You could argue that the animated series, the events that take place during the span of Star Trek: The Animated Series, are what led Spock to quit Starfleet and decide to undertake the Kulinar ritual like at the beginning of the motion picture, because he wants to purge his mind of all emotion and get to be pure logic, because he probably woke up one day and was
he didn't do a virtual Kulinar.
He was like, what the fuck have I been talking about the past few years? What have I been dealing with, like elephant mind creatures and zoos and like ancient spaceships that are alive and scream, I'm so alone.
I'm so alone.
Like, whoa. What is this? What am I on about? What am I on about? So he quit Starfleet. So it could be that that's what, you know, you could argue that that's what TAS does, is it shows the steady, gradual but steady mental deterioration of one Commander Spock. Mm-hmm. And you know, then we see the rest of the tale play out in the movies.
There's also a bit of the mental deterioration of Sarek.
What are you talking about, in the animated series or just later?
Oh, no. Star Trek in general. I thought you said Star Trek in general.
So oh, yeah. No, no,
I wasn't
right,
listening.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all right. It's quite all right.
I was doing my own podcast.
It's quite all right.
So,
classic. Classic Jesse.
This is a couple of quick points.
Quick points. Conveyed chilly.
Chilly.
It's a chill podcast.
It's a few.
Actually, they're not points more, as they are just examples of Kirk and McCoy going, or Spock and McCoy going at it.
Little tidbits, little highlights that you have plucked from watching Kirk, this episode.
Tidbits
that your brain has interpreted as being of value.
Okay, so Kirk is trying
being recounted to the audience.
Kirk is trying to contact the captured crew. This is before they got into the zoo. The crew in the zoo.
He's just right walking around. And he was like, "Hey,
crew in the zoo.
Hey, where are you guys at?"
And the communicator,
you guys,
like,
over there.
The communicator like zaps back, and McCoy's like, "Strange, you didn't get a voice reply." And then Spock goes, "There could be many reasons why we did not." It's like, that's a useless answer by Spock.
It
just meant to aggravate McCoy, you know?
It is a useless answer. It's a true answer, but it does not
It's not anything. Helpful.
Spock's having this conversation with Kirk, saying, "You propose the same environment necessarily prompts the same evolution." McCoy goes, "My shoes are full of sand." And then... which is kind of funny. But then Spock goes, "Doctor, your lack of scientific interest is amazing." Like... And then, but McCoy says, "I'll be happy to discuss that with you, Mr. Spock, next time you drop into my medical lab. McCoy totally zinged him good there. So Spock was trying to tell
him. Zing him good, because McCoy is a scientist. He's not merely a physician. He's not a workaday clinician doing the difficult but steady work of just applying what they learned in medical school and continue to learn through their continuing medical education throughout their career. He is doing actual research. McCoy is often in a position where he has to save the day with some sort of concoction or DNA splicing or you know, do all sorts of business, you know?
Right.
So he is a proper scientist. Not all doctors are scientists, but McCoy is definitely
But it was
a scientist.
Pretty funny that he's just like, "My shoes are full of sand." That was kind of funny.
It was funny.
There's a part where Spock is giving unequal...
It was more funny than that episode of TAS where he fantasized about being on a plantation.
Yes, that was much funnier than
the sand thing. Yeah. Funnier,
yeah.
Than that,
yeah.
Which was problematic.
Yes, agreed. So this was more about unequal treatment Spock gives towards Kirk, because Kirk all goes like, you know, McCoy's like, "I don't like it, Jim. Why only one short signal, no more?" And Kirk's like, "I don't know, but at least they're alive." And Spock goes, "Apparently alive. We cannot be sure." And then Kirk goes, "I choose to believe they are." This is Kirk saying, "I choose to believe they're alive." If McCoy said that, Spock would be like dancing and whooping about like Daffy Duck or something, being "What do you mean? Don't talk through emotions, McCoy. McCoy, you feel like they're alive. Are those your is it emotions talking?" That's what McCoy would have said Spock would have said if it was McCoy. I'm doing that thing where I'm like projecting what they would have said, even though that's problematic because they never did say that. We don't have an example of that, so you can't say...
counterfactual.
Yeah, you can't just say like, "Well, if it was on this hand, it would have been this." Well, it didn't happen, so you can't say... But it seems like that was... Spock's being a little inconsistent there.
I think we should...
Am I not being chill enough?
It's starting to go in the non-chill direction.
Okay.
Just chill out a little bit.
And then this is...
Not calm down.
No.
Just chill.
Everybody's calm here.
And this
Kirk has had enough. He goes, "Yes, but terraforming usually follows a pattern. This seems like random choice." Spock says, "Unless, of course, the random choice is the pattern." And then McCoy goes, "Spock, do you ever say anything straight out?" Spock says, I thought I just did, Doctor. Kirk says, gentlemen, please. We have work to do. Even Kirk has had enough of it. He's had it up to here. That was that chill?
It was very chill. It was very long, which I respect.
Chill and
you
long.
Read a lot of the script.
Yes.
I mean, there was a proper vignette.
There's an important point I want to go back to on that. When you, the part he says the random choice is the pattern, let's ponder on that.
It doesn't make sense to me.
How is a random choice a pattern? I understand they're saying the randomness implies that a pattern of like choosing, but like
I was confused about this whole thing because I was like, it's a zoo. It's a constructed thing.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't understand what this whole randomness, I didn't know what point they were making. It sounded like they were just talking to talk.
Yeah, it did. Because, it sounded like they were just talking to talk. Like, I the only thing I think they meant is like, because it seems so random, that's the pattern is that it's actually somebody making these things happen.
Yeah.
But then you, it's redundant to say random choice, because if you say it's a choice, that is implying that somebody is making it happen. So every random choice would be a pattern. Yeah, it's
confusing.
It was a confusing statement, and I was not into it.
And this was a confusing time.
Yeah.
In America.
And I guess I had... Oh, yeah. McCoy goes, well, I've got one, and I definitely don't like it. I guess they're doing exactly what we would do. And then Kirk goes, which is? McCoy goes, well, if we came upon an alien creature we'd never seen before, the first thing we'd do is to make sure it was free of harmful bacteria.
Yeah.
Then we'd see if it was intelligent. And then Spock goes, congratulations, Doctor. A most logical assumption. That fucking prick. Like, even when he's complimenting McCoy on his shit, he's being condescending. He's like, congratulations, you finally said something that's worth a fuck.
Well, it's because they both like hanging out. It's like that classic situation where they both want to hang out with Kirk, but they vie for a little of attention, and they're jealous of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're jealous. They're jealous. They're not envious.
Spock is jealous.
They're not simply envious. They are jealous.
Mm-hmm.
There's that little extra flavor that you get with jealousy that you don't get with envy. Envy can be completely positive. It could be like, oh yes, I'm envious of the situation they find themselves in, but I don't hate the person. I love the person. I'm happy for them.
I love the person.
I'm so hippie. It's so good.
What are we doing right now?
You have such a big house with a swimming pool and a pool table. And you have a pool table.
What are you doing?
I thought this was what we were doing.
I didn't know, but you went to a pool table and that was, no, I like that. You started convincing me.
But if you're jealous, there's like a hatred.
Yeah,
there's
okay.
Like a,
no,
like
you convinced me.
Implied animosity.
Pool table.
You get the pool table.
You get the pool table. I feel like we're doing something, but I don't know what we're doing.
I don't know.
There's two last real quick like
these
ones.
These are gonna be the two last things.
When
Dan always has two last things, and then when we push him on whether or not there's actually just two last things, he admits that there may be like more than
right.
two, depending
been,
on how you categorize and subdivide.
That's just, I'm especially guilty of that this episode.
You're out of control.
I keep misusing the word couple. And yes, categorization is important.
Thruple.
When they're in the zoo, McCoy's like, hey, somebody, anybody. And then Spock's like, a wasteful use of energy, Doctor. I believe they can hear you without your shouting. Spock could have just said the second part. He could have just said, I think they can hear you without the shouting, without having to say, like, a wasteful use of energy, Doctor. Like, not all of us are super smarty pants telepaths like Vulcans. You
Spock
know what I'm saying?
Was just a little too much for the whole episode.
Yeah, he was like, Spock was being really negative. Patrick, you were right on with his negativity, because Spock was like, Spock like already knew all this shit, and he's like, McCoy's like trying to be like, help, help. And Spock's like, don't even bother, you fuck. And not only, not only was he saying that, he was like, you're wasting energy. It's like, well, motherfucker, I don't know I'm wasting energy. I'm sorry.
Sit here and enjoy the tasty zoo.
You think I'm wasting energy. Why do you have to be a dick about it? You know, anyway, yeah.
Maybe Spock was just trying to get with Randy Bryce.
Maybe.
And
Randy.
Like, don't mess this up. This is my only opportunity to get with Randy Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about her. Over subspace. She seems like a gal I'd like to hang out with.
The deep subspace.
And then the last one is when Spock was talking about how like the people, how they're evolved, like not as evolved as the worm slurms. Spock goes, we are considered simplistic, but in the process of evolving into a higher order. And then McCoy goes, even Vulcans? And then Spock's like, yes. Even Vulcans. Got him. McCoy yeah. got him in
McCoy
the end.
McCoy got him in the end.
He got him.
Classic McCoy. All right. Well, I guess that's enough talking about that particular episode. So those were two fun, entertaining episodes of...
not two shabs.
Of Star Trek the Animated Series. Fairly batshit, not yeah. super batshit.
I thought the first one was a little more batshit in the sense that it was just like, I was like, there were just, you had to infer all this shit, and it was like, it felt like a weird philosophical exercise.
It was
in
a
the
little,
first
it
one.
Was, I thought the first one was a little not incoherent, but it was less coherent. Fun, but confusing tone shifts and stuff
wacky.
Like that.
It's like, it was like less of a story and more presenting an idea or something.
This
I don't
one,
know.
This one was more in the line of, here's a story, maybe there's some plot holes in the story, but it's the kind of thing that would be hard to do in the TOS era of like, oh, we have this massive zoo with all these alien creatures, right? Now, that's not a novel sci-fi concept, and we've seen it done over a million times.
Over 1 million!
Yeah, but this was a fun, interesting take on it. It was semi-interesting.
I think they were better than what were the last was the last ambergris.
Yeah, the ambergris element is dumb.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
It's
yeah.
just sort of a dumb element. Yeah, yeah. And
I can't remember what the other one was.
I can't remember.
The other one was a little bit okay.
Yeah, I think it was better than the ambergris element. But anyway, so yes, that does it for us this week. Next week, we do not know what we are talking about because we have to feed this week's episode.
The time trap. That was also kind of a weird.
Yeah, the time trap.
But it's not going to be TAS.
Which was also weird.
But we have to feed this week's podcast episode into the algorithm in order to spit out a list of the episodes that we will watch next week. I couldn't even tell you which series it'll probably be, but
the last episode of Star Trek TAS is the next one, which is the
Jihad. That's not the last episode. That's the last episode of the first season.
Yes, that's what I meant. And then I know there's more episodes. I meant the first season.
The second season's only 6 episodes long. Right.
Well, the last episode of the first season is called the Jihad.
Yes, so we'll talk about that at some point in the not too distant future because we love talking about the animated series. Love talking about the animated series.
It's really good.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. Lollipop Guild.
We like the animated series. Animated series. We like the animated series. How's that?
It's something. I'll give you that.
It sure is.
Something.
Sure is.
All right. So check our social media feeds.
Algorithm.
Or the website. In order to determine what we're going to be watching next week, because we will post it to the social media feeds and to the website as soon as the algorithm is done calculating.
Hey, post it, don't blost it.
Yeah, so you can find the website at www.itsgotstartrek.com, where you can sort the podcast by series and do searches, text searches and stuff. Pretty convenient if that's what you're sort of into.
If
you're not into that, you can subscribe to us everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other stuff. Stitcher, all that business. You know, you can get the podcast pretty much anywhere. Rate and review wherever you can. That does help us out, presumably, at some point. YouTube. You can find us on YouTube. We're on social media at It's Got Star Trek, Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram, Facebook, etc. So sign up, click on follow, all the things, because, you know, why not? Why not? Then you'll be able to know what's going on. So with that all being said, we will conclude this episode, the episode that we've recorded just now. And next week, there will be a new episode, and you will be listening to that one. It will be followed coming up after
It'll
this
be
one
so
in the feed.
That's how it works.
Yes, this one is in this position
never,
in the feed.
You never heard it before.
The one up, probably the one up. Granted, that depends on how you are sorting your feed. But generally speaking, this will be at the top, and then the next one down will be noted. This one will be the next one down next week after the new episode's out. Up until that time, it'll be at the top.
Oh, I'm so confused.
I think they got it. Okay.
don't think I got it.
Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Not even close.
Bye-bye.
No, supposing you and I talk this over. You can talk, can't you? You can't talk. Well, what can you do? Oh, no!